It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 529. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow. And also facebook.com/MikeNationNet. Don't forget to check out the wiki. That is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, links to all the old audio, links to the show notes from the past. It's a great resource. Check that out. And that's at mtswiki.com. I hope everybody is having a great holiday season, and I want to wish everybody a happy new year. This is the last show for 2014. I'm recording this on New Year's Eve, on Wednesday night, 2014. Going to ring in the new year in the post show later on. I have a jam-packed show for tonight. I have stories in the trenches. I have some tips and tricks. I want to go back and review some of this past year, some of the ups and the downs, and there was not many downs for me. This was 2014 was a great year for me, for my business, personally, family wise, health wise. Everything's rolling on all cylinders, so very, very happy, and I hope 2015 continues that way, and I hope and wish that everybody listening to this show that you have a great 2015 ahead. I really do. And I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for your support of the show, support of the sponsors. It's been tremendous. And I hope you will continue to download the show during 2015. I hope that I can continue to put out some great shows. With that, I want to talk about a great opportunity that fell into my lap on Monday for visiting a new client yesterday. I get a call while I'm at a client from a friend of mine who's my bookkeeper, Ray, and he's the bookkeeper for a company in the surrounding area in Bala Cynwyd. He told me they're having tremendous network problems and to give the owner a call right away. I get on the phone. I call him. The person says they fired their IT support. Their internet's down, network's down. And the first thing I said before I even, you know, went out there, I said, who do you have for internet? And they have Verizon. And they called Verizon, and Verizon said their internet connection is fine, that it's internal. And I said, if they determine that, okay. I said the first chance I could get out there was Tuesday afternoon, which was just the next day. So that was yesterday, and I headed out, and here's what happened. This office, it's not a big office. There are four computers. They moved from one floor to another in this big building. That's all, and that was on the weekend. Their IT guy on Saturday just had to make sure that everything was punched down. The wiring was all done. So he just had to bring up all the workstations, connect the new Fios modem, and their new, you know, their existing switch. They're just literally pick up the equipment and just move it and connect them. He had none of the workstations working. Spent hours on Saturday, none of them working, and he left. And left them not working for Monday morning and abandoned them. How can you do that? He was their IT support for 7 years. That is completely unacceptable. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. To leave a client completely down and abandon them, that's unforgivable. How can that happen? How can that? I can't even imagine that. In my worst, I would never, ever leave a client not operational, especially on such a big day for a move like that. You would hang in there for as long as it took to do everything. He just left. That was it. So they called him, tried to get him back. So they fired him. They want nothing to do with him. And I came in and found a couple things. You had the Fios router going to another firewall switch, a Netgear 8-port firewall switch. I noticed that one of the workstations was pulling a different IP address than the IP address of the LAN side of the router. So they have so many things that they're down. They know that the internet's up. And I could tell that because I could plug in my Surface Pro 3 directly to the router, and I was getting the wrong IP address. So I said, okay, there's one machine that they say is the server. And I seen that the network cable was not plugged in anywhere. It just went around behind stacks of boxes and stopped. It just wasn't long enough. So instead of getting a longer network cable, it was just left unconnected. So I have a 25-foot cable with me, and I quickly put that in, and I connect it, and I connect it directly to the router, and I get in right away. Internet comes right up. I take a look at the IP address, and the IP address was a static IP address that matched the router. The router was 192.168.4.1. I don't know why someone would pick .4.1, but they did. So now, as I'm taking this all in to try to figure it out, I go to another workstation and I assign a static IP address. So this one machine was .100. So I make this other workstation 101, and guess what? I get right in. So the static IP addresses are working. So there's two more machines. I go to the other two machines and I make 1102, 1103. All of the machines are now on the internet. Once I got them connected and they could get their email, there was like a sigh of relief. One, they know they got the right IT guy now. And two, they're back in business. And I was like, great. I said, now let me figure out what's going on. And now that they're up and running, I take a look. And I log into the Fios router. The Fios router, the LAN address is 4.1, but it's giving out IP addresses of 1.2 to 1.254. It's on a different network. I said, no wonder nothing can work. So the first thing I do, since the Fios firewall is fine for this small company, they don't need this other firewall, I disconnect the cable going to the WAN port of this other firewall. That makes this firewall, with me not even logging in, it makes it a switch, just a flat switch. So I unplug that and I plug it into a regular port going from the firewall, going from the Verizon firewall. I then change the DHCP from the firewall And I changed that to give out 4 dot, and I start at 150, and I go from 150 to 250. I do that. Then I go back and start removing the IP addresses, the static IP addresses. It comes right up, and everything's working. So now I got all the network issues solved. But they have another problem between the different connections and some of the network printers. They don't have enough ports on the switch for the ports that are at the patch panel. So one of the first things I recommend, I said, you need, and they're going to be adding more workstations. I said, you need a bigger switch, at least a 16 port. And then you're going to have the expansion capability for being able to punch down all of the other ports that are on the patch panel to the switch. So they test printing. We now look at backups. One of the things that, and this is funny, there's a Buffalo Terra station for backup. And I try to access it. I can't get in. It's not working. So I quickly Google how to set it to the factory default password. I do that. Upon logging in, when you reset to the password, I guess there's a problem with that particular firmware. The menu, options, everything is in Japanese. So clearly this is a regular problem, because when I Google it, there are instructions for how to pick the right options in Japanese to change everything back to English. So I follow those instructions. I get it all back to English. And now I'm able to log in. And guess what? There's no space. It is completely filled. So we don't know how long that's been filled and how long backups haven't been happening. So one thing I noticed, SyncBack Pro was on each of the workstations, which was great. Love SyncBack. The server has a ton of space. And it's not really a server. It's really a peer workstation. It's Windows 7. They call it a server because that's their shared area. I take a look. There's a ton of space. I have a 2 terabyte external drive with me that's new, because I brought, when you're going to a client like this and based on what they described, I wanted to have an external drive just in case there's no backups going on. I can do at least put the trial version of Shadow Protect and start backing up something to the drive. I also brought, since they said they were having problems also with the Wi-Fi, I brought a MediaLink router that I could always just make an access point. I didn't even have to do that. Once I got into the router, I was able to fix the wireless issue and their mobile phones and could get on. Now, there's another funny story tied to this. They lease some space for one person, a one-man office in their office. And that individual was down, and he has a phone that's voice over IP from 8x8. And that could not pull an IP address. Once I fixed the DHCP, his phone came up and started working. And then I was able to connect his computer into his phone. His MacBook Air couldn't work because the Wi-Fi settings were messed up. Once I picked the password that they wanted and I set this up, this is all within an hour, I completely get everything working. Let's fast forward for a couple hours. I was there only 3 hours total. I quickly was able to set a share up for backup on the server, set the workstations to start backing up at different times staggered with SyncBack Pro going to the server. I then had them purchase Shadow Protect right on the spot for the backup of the server to the external drive. Bam. They now have full server capability, full internet. Everything's backing up. Phones are working. Printers working. So they went from nothing working to everything working. Now we start talking about what they want for the next steps, and we started working that out for getting a bigger switch. They want to add a couple computers for some as they're expanding. This is a company that's just on the uptick and growing, and I can't wait to be part of that growth. Great connection. They're very, very happy. What a way to pick up a client for going into the new year. I've picked up a bunch of clients like that. someone who messes up, whether it be their backups, whether it be hardware problems that they couldn't resolve, or just can't believe they treated their client like that. And I'm wondering if there was something personal going on or something. Yeah, I can't, you know, begin to guess what was going on with the individual that just kind of walked away in the middle of a crisis, really. That's, wow. That's what you want to pounce on. That's the easiest way to make an impression, is when things are really bad, because it can only look good. Whatever you do, it's only going to improve their situation. I kept to myself, you never bash your competition. You never say anything negative. One of the things we did do, I removed the remote access that he had put in to the systems. I also made sure there was no port forwarding or anything at the front perimeter of the Verizon router, just to make sure there was no remote access. I made him change his email passwords and the network solutions password that controls their domain, because these are things that, just in case it ever got ugly or the guy wants to do something spiteful, I wanted to make sure that any services that the IT guy would have been part of, that we changed the passwords and made sure that that was all done. He liked that. That was, you know, a really good idea. That was my Tuesday afternoon, and may I have many, many more like that, because that's a great way to show off your skill set, your troubleshooting and problem solving, and make an impression with a client. A tip on something I ran into with one of my clients: the quality assurance person, the quality control person, came to me and said, "Mike, every time I want to edit a PDF with my Adobe Acrobat, it tells me someone else is in the file, but I'm the only one in the file when I open it up. And I'm not allowed to save it as that name when I make the edit." So I look, and there's no permissions issue on the server, and I try to edit. I copy one of his PDFs, and I have Adobe Acrobat on the workstation that I'm using there, and I try to do the same thing, and I get the exact same error. A little Googling and in the Adobe forums, this is a common problem with Adobe. When you're accessing from a server trying to change a file, if you have preview turned on in Windows Explorer, that actually presents itself to Adobe as another user opening the file. And then once you do that and you try to edit it, it says, it reports back and reads that someone else has opened. Close Adobe Acrobat, turn off the file preview in Windows Explorer. Now, once you do that and you go double click and open it up, problem solved. This is an issue from within Adobe. And I know a lot of people are asking Adobe to fix this. I don't know if they can, but I notice it doesn't happen in Word, doesn't happen in Excel. But in Adobe, if you are an Adobe Acrobat user and you try to edit an Adobe file that's on a server and you have file preview turned on in Explorer, you can't edit and save it as the same name. So just a tip that if it's driving you crazy, you would be able to fix that. I have a link for cleaning up the WinSXS folder. This has been driving me crazy, where there is that folder within your operating system that just keeps collecting and growing and growing and growing. And I have a Microsoft TechNet article that goes into some programs that you can run and some details on how you can clean that up. And I've had to do that over the last couple weeks, so I wanted to share that. Well, I spent a lot of time on those stories. I have other stories, but what I would like to do is let's cover some email, and then I want to do sort of a wrap-up of 2014. Let's get to some email here. This is from Philip. "Mike, I just recently got three Powerline Ethernet adapters for a Google TV that was having Wi-Fi issues and for a dead spot in the basement. Now, I see they have all gone out. This may be a useful device in some situations. It's a TP-Link Universal Wireless dual band Range Extender Wall Plug. I will have a link to that, and I want to thank Philip for that. This is a different Philip, and it's about the IMAP problem that I talked about on the last show. And one of the problems my clients have, IMAP stopped working from their iPhones. Three different clients. I had to have them change to POP in order for this to work. IMAP stopped working, and I tried everything. I went into Google Apps and made sure IMAP was set. Now, that it was enabled. We've deleted the account and recreated it. I've got some feedback that I do want to share. And this is on from Philip. On show 528, you mentioned IMAP not working on iOS for a few clients. And make sure that the Gmail and Google Apps and IMAP is turned on in the settings. I've done that. Email problems. What apps are they using? And are they using Google Apps? They're using Google Apps, but they're using the main mail program on the iPhone. And he says, I found these are better and easier to set up and not had any problems with getting mail. Aquamail is free for two email accounts and Blue Mail, which is free. I will have links to that. And this is from Paul. Paul, thank you very much. This was from John. He says, instead of IMAP, you should be using Google Sync, assuming they are paid Google Work accounts. This will deliver much better performance and allow for more syncing options. You know, I think they're free. They were when Google Apps was free. I don't think they're the paid. And I don't know if that's a difference or not. It could be. They were all the free version. This is about a Windows 8 reinstall. And this is from Jeff. Hi, Mike. I had heard on your Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets that people were having a problem doing a Windows 8 reinstall to a new hard drive. You can download the Windows 8 and 8.1 media from Microsoft using this link. Thank you. I'm going to post that up. If you purchased Windows 8 when it came out, you were not allowed to use the Windows 8.1 media because the key you purchased would not work. With the media that Microsoft has provided, you can use a Windows 8 key to do a fresh install of Windows using the 8.1 media. That's good to know. The method that I have used before this was matching the media up exactly. When you create your installer on a disk or USB drive, you have to add a EI.cfg file with the info for that version. I have provided a link with that information. Although I have only done a couple, I've only done a couple of these, I was able to get it to work. Great show. Thank you for all the information you shared. This is Jeff. Jeff, thank you very much. And those links are going to be in the show notes. This is from Pat. And it's installing and transferring to a new SSD. I wanted to send you a note about my experience in installing and transitioning to a new SSD drive. I have a Lenovo K450 i7 8GB of RAM 2TB hard drive. I have already added a Blu-ray drive. The stock power supply still had plenty of juice to handle the SSD. I purchased the Intel 240GB from Newegg during their Black Friday sales. Here is the process I used. Copy everything except essential files and programs to my 2TB external, then delete off the original hard drive. Total size was now 90GB. Use ESUS to do backup, and there's a free home version. Since the Lenovo has multiple partitions, some with the Windows files, I clone the entire drive to the SSD, which was connected externally. I originally cloned only the main partition, but the drive would not boot. It was necessary to clone all the partitions. I installed the SSD with the connector that was originally on the hard drive, reconnected the hard drive with the new cable using the last SATA connector, turned on the computer, waited 18 seconds, and everything was running fine. I only had two programs that did not run. Nitro Professional 6, which the company said is not supported under Windows 8. To their credit, they did help me with a few tweaks and a special installer, and it now works. All Sound Recorder Vista, which I had a freebie through a giveaway of the day, would not work. It is now listed as a trial version. All Microsoft Office, Adobe Elements, and other programs work just fine. I highly recommend this process I used when I went to transfer the current system to an SSD. I now keep older files in the old hard drive as well as backup on the external drive as well as critical files in the cloud. This is from Paul. Paul, thank you for that process. I tell you, I'm now of the position that if I'm putting an SSD, I just do a fresh install, reinstall the software. I know it's a lot of work. I don't want to go through all the trouble of trying to clone it and then have issues. And then I'm glad you have a process. You should try that. It was a client of mine or even my own system. And I'm going to be going through this with my son's computer who has an SSD that we have to install. I'm going to just do it fresh from scratch. Just going to reinstall Windows 7, have him reinstall his software. There's not a lot of software, and mostly Steam for gaming and and all Microsoft Office, so not a big deal. And then he doesn't have that much data, so it's not going to be hard to keep that on the other drive. This is from Martin. I was listening to show 528 when you were talking about having to export a mailbox of approximately 23 gig. I have a way to speed up the migration from one server to another. If you use Outlook and archive mail older than a certain date, you can start the export process in advance. When you archive it, it removes the emails from the PST or OST. This still allows the user to access old emails archive until you import it to the new mail server. This process would make the actual day of migration shorter because you wouldn't have to wait for a large export to complete. As always, Marty. Marty, it's amazing how the simplest thing in front of you, what a great idea. And I will absolutely put that into effect in my next mail migration to save time. That is a simple, elegant, quick tip. So thank you very much, Martin. For the rest of the show, I want to take a few minutes and reflect on 2014. I put some notes here. I put it into really three categories: family, business, and podcast. That's sort of how my life is broken up. With family, I knock wood and thank God everybody's been healthy. Everything's been great, and my kids are doing well with working. Grandsons are doing good. Wife is doing good. Everybody's doing good with their jobs. Everything's happy, happy right now, and may it continue for a long time. So I'm blessed that things are going really well on the family front. What's interesting is personally, I've done more travel this year than I've ever done in the past. And it's interesting because I've also been the busiest. And that's where we segue into my consulting business. I have been very, very fortunate where some of my biggest clients have been able to provide me enough work where I have been very, very happy and extremely busy, as you know. On the consulting front, that's great. And from the story you heard me in the beginning, I actually have two more new clients that I got to call Friday morning and set up appointments with. That is new business. So I can't wait to do that. And some of you are probably thinking, well, how can I take on new business when I'm so busy? Well, my biggest client that I consult for 40 hours a month the projects are winding down and coming to an end. And that 40 hours is going to be reduced to 10. So that's 30 hours a month that I now have to find a replacement for. So I don't mind going after new business and adding more retainer hours, because at the end of January, I'm going to go from 40 to 10 hours with one client. And that's what you always have to be prepared for. Things are good. Life's good. Everything's running nice for your business. You got to constantly keep your irons in the fire for getting new business. What if a merger happens, or an acquisition, or something happens, or a client, you know, something, they decide to sell their company and they sell it to a bigger company that has their own IT support? Bam. And I've had that happen with some clients where there was a merger and I helped them merge. I did my job. I consulted myself out of a job, because a consultant should do what the client needs, whatever it is. And always the best interest of my client is always first. You got to keep that cycle going for getting new business, bringing in new business to replace the old business. And, you know, may knock wood, may I be able to keep all my clients forever, but that's not possible. So you have to prepare for that. And that's something that in the new year, I am looking to still add some more business. And for a new year resolution, I really wouldn't mind getting enough business to where I could hire someone full time. That still is in my wish list, to be able to have that so I can afford medical benefits for employees and have group insurance. I do want it. That is one of my goals. So I hope in 2015, that's one of my goals, to get enough business to where that can take some of the stress off me by hiring a couple, one or two consultants working for me. That would be great. That's ideal. And hopefully I can make that happen with my business in 2015. Something I did this past year was purged clients that were not making me money or not paying me. I mean, I'm not going to continue to work for free. It's not going to happen. I had to cut loose some dead wood. I pruned and got rid of some clients that sometimes it's better to not have than to have. And I think everybody knows that you can have clients that will drag you down and cost you more to have them as a client. And I had to take a hard look at that and make decisions and stop supporting a couple clients. And I did do that. Now, an interesting story today, I got to add, one of those clients that it was in the middle of being purged does not want to be purged. And we're having a meeting on Friday afternoon. So wish me luck. And they want to talk about 2015 and being better. And one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to say, we cannot continue until you hand me a check for what you owe me. Then we can talk about this. And we're going to talk about timely payments. And if they can't pay me on time, I'm walking out of the office. If they have a check and they can pay me and we can work this out, then let us go forward. And let's bygones be bygones and start new in 2015. I have no problem with that. I'm looking forward to the meeting on Friday afternoon with a client. It's always good the new year, start fresh and try to start anew. And I have no problem with that. I was able to travel. And again, this leads into the podcasting. I have to thank my sponsors and affiliate. And I was going to say sponsor. Huge, huge thank you to Instant House Call and Corey for your support of the Mike Tech Show and for Tech Vets. He was a great sponsor for the meetup in Fort Washington, PA, and also was critical in making the meetup happen in Arizona. I had a great time. I met a lot of you at both events, and I didn't like the heat in Arizona, but I had a great time. And meeting with everyone and eating and hanging out, and it was a lot of fun. And I tip my hat and a huge, huge thank you to Corey and Instant House Call for all that you have done, and may we have a brilliantly successful year with your sponsorship and the podcast in 2015, and may you really succeed with Instant House Call. I want to thank Amazon and everything that you've done as listeners to support the show. That's my biggest affiliate. It's what helps pay the bills. It pays for the equipment that you see. Any changes that I do is huge. And that's using my Amazon link, and that's the amazon.micnation.net. And you've come through again this year with a big year in sharing that link and making sure you and your friends and family are using that link. It's huge. It makes a big impact in supporting this show. And I thank you for your support and using that link for Amazon. I want to thank Bryce Whitty of TechNibble for allowing me to be an affiliate for his business kit. That's great. That adds commissions to me as being an affiliate. Also, an affiliate for, now the link has been broken. I have to fix this for Malwarebytes Pro. That's been a problem. And the problem really is in Commission Junction. And I got to work that out and I got to resolve that. So I am looking at that. Another big thank you to Fab for Fab's Auto Backup. Great product. I love that. Fabrice has made it great for me to be able to make money off being an affiliate for that product. So I thank you very much. All of this adds up and it helps support the show. From a podcasting standpoint, having the two meetups this year, which we've never been able to do before, and then having all of the affiliates, having a great sponsor, it makes it wonderful and wonderful for me to want to do this show every week. One of my goals for 2015 is to make every week, for not missing a week. I know this year was the first year where there were more missing in action shows where I've had to cancel a show. And that was all client related because I was so busy that there were client needs for a Thursday evening that I couldn't reschedule. Or there was an event or something happening on a Thursday night. And or that week, if I was traveling, where in December I was traveling to Vegas and I couldn't, there was no way to get a show that week. Or my anniversary where I took my wife to Florida to Clearwater. That was great. Or a week vacation where we were in the Poconos and I didn't want to record during my vacation. So there were more times that I was off this year than previous years, where there were years where I never missed a week, no matter what. I hope to lessen that, where I will be able to reschedule it on the weekend or do it on a Wednesday night or a Friday night. So I will make every effort to keep putting a show out every single week. That's something that I want to try to do for 2015. 2014 has been a great year, and I would love to see it replicated for me personally because of the three areas: family, my business, and the podcast. Everything's been working great. And may you and your family have a great 2015. And I sincerely mean that. Have a great holiday. Have a great new year. I will see you back here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.